Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Ches. We're in Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to be starting at the two dots. It is three lines after the lines start getting wide. We are talking about paying for damages and method of payment. So when you pay for damages, so how do you pay? So yesterday we went through, a big part of yesterday's daf, is a steer between two psukim. One pasuk says, Metav Sadeo, Metav Karmo, Yishalem, you're going to be paying with property. So you do damage, so of course you own property, which in of itself is, you know, Not everyone owns property. Some do, some don't. But of course you own property. And then when you pay with your property, so you got to pay with Meitav, you got to pay with the best. Properties are graded. In a moment, in the beginning of today's daf, after the introduction, we're going to be discussing how are they graded. Are they graded on a curve or are they graded objectively? It's a pretty straightforward and basic question, which we're going to deliberate in the beginning of today's shiur. But anyway, but the properties are going to get graded. And the grading system is A, B, and C. A property is the best, that's it. B is mid-grade. Beinonis, and C is the most inferior property, and that's Ziboris. And so the Torah says that when you do damages, so how do you pay? You pay with property, and not just property, but you pay with it, is you pay with the best property. Okay, within that position that you pay with it, so we have a machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel says is that whose best property do you pay with? Do you work from the perspective of the Mazik or the Nizak? So Rabbi Shmuel says we work from the perspective of the Nizak. You pay with the Nizak's best property. And so that means to say that if the Nizak's best property is only equivalent to the Mazik C property, so then the Mazik only has to pay C. That shitas Rabbi Shmuel. But meanwhile, Rabbi Kiva says no. Rabbi Kiva says, but the Mazik Shaiminan, you pay based on the property grading of the Mazik. Which for Rabbi Kiva, it's very simple to explain and very simple to hear because the Torah says, Metav Sadehu Yishalem. You pay with, who's paying? The Mazik is paying. So when it says Sadehu, who do you think it's talking about? It's talking about the Mazik. Good, that's the Shita Rabbi Kiva. How did Rabbi Yishmael arrive at the conclusion that it's not the Mazik, but rather it's a Nizak? So he had a Gzera Shava. So the Gzera Shava, in other words, it's not the simple reading of the Pasuk, but you have a Gzera Shava, so the Gzera Shava is going to override the simple reading of the Pasuk. Good. So this goes back to what we did previously. So when you do damages, so how do you pay? So you pay with property, and not just, but the best property. And whose best property? It's a machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. That's one part of yesterday's daf. And another part of yesterday's daf is that the Torah says is that when somebody falls into your pit, not somebody, but somebody's property falls into your pit, so what's the halacha? So yashiv. So you have to make good, you have to return. In other words, you have to compensate. And l'rabba safilu subin, and the Gemara's drasha, is that when you compensate, you can give them whatever you want. Subin. Subin is not even wheat. It's the chaff off the wheat. It's the outer shell of the wheat, as if I knew. Right? I'm not holding by wheat. As much as I should be. Anyway, but the point is that you can pay whatever you want. So method of payment, so the Torah is confusing. The Torah on one hand says you pay with property. The Torah on the other hand says you can pay whatever you want. So that was what we dealt with for most of yesterday's daf. And the conclusion which we arrived at yesterday is that it's not a stira, obviously. But in other words, how do you resolve it? So if you're paying with property, so then you have to pay with metav. But if you're paying with any metaltel, you can pay with whatever metaltel you want. And as we explained yesterday, what's the difference? The difference is that when you're making compensation, so what you want to give the aggrieved is something where he could turn it around and sell it as quickly as he wants. If it's metaltelin and you're giving him metaltelin, so now metaltelin, go to eBay, go to Amazon. You could turn him and sell it whatever you want. But if we're talking about property, property's not that easy to sell. In other words, what you need to do is you need to get an agent. You need to, right, you need to find buyers. And what's going to go quicker? What's going to sell quicker? So the Yiddish obviously is going to sell the quickest. So in other words, if our goal is not just to compensate loss, but to compensate loss with something that he can liquefy as quickly as he wants. So when it comes to metalton is always movable and always sellable. And when it comes to property, only the Yiddish is super sellable, and you could turn around and sell it quickly. Everything else is just simply going to take time, effort, energy. And the Torah does not want that for the Nizak. That is a quick summary of yesterday's daf. And let's go. Let's get right into it. By Mine Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Me Akronya, Me Rabbi Abba. Okay, so the following question was asked from Rav Shmuel to Rabbi Abba. Okay, could be that he's asking his father, regardless. Kish Ein Shaman, Bishalo Ein Shaman, O Bishal Olam Ein Shaman. Okay, so now what we talked about yesterday was that you have to pay Meitav Sadeo, and that is You have to pay with the best property. That means it's an A property. Now, when we're grading these properties, so are they going to be graded on a curve? That's Mishalo Hein Shamin. Or are they going to be graded objectively? Are there objective standards in terms of how properties get graded? And now the A, B, and C is objecting grading. In other words, what we did is we standardized what an A property would look like. And now we're going to grade your property based on standardized standardized results. So the Gemara says, interesting. So it's a very basic question. And the Gemara says, Ali b'de Rabbi Shmuel loti b'aylach de Amar b'de Nizak Shaimina. So the Gemara says, if I held like Rabbi Shmuel, the question doesn't get off the ground. So the because over there, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's b'de Nizak Shaimina. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel says that when we're talking about the payment of the best, it is from the perspective of the Nizak. And clearly, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's always going to be graded on a curve. Okay, so the Gemara says that this question doesn't even get off the ground with Rabbi Shmuel. And you can see the last Tosfos over here. It's a short Tosfos, but critical in terms of just why the Gemara does not think that this question sits well with Rabbi Shmuel. It doesn't even apply to Rabbi Shmuel, but the Gemara says it as a Dover Pashut. It doesn't apply to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, properties are always going to be graded on a curve. Kiti balach alibet to Rabbi Akiva, but when is the question going to be shaykh? It's going to be according to Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the din? You're going to be paying according to the mazik. So, da amra bid the mazik shamina, and my mate of Sadeo amra rachmana lemute denizak, o dilma lemute da amaname. Perfect. Meaning the question rings so well according to Rabbi Akiva, because where does Rabbi Akiva know this din that you have to be paying from the perspective of the mazik? It says, mate of Sadehu, the best of his field. And now the question is open. When we say his field relative to his other fields, or his field relative to everybody's field? Okay, perfect. Perfect. So now the question is open, and now we're ready to discuss. So according to Rabbi Akiva, parenthetically, that's the halacha. In other words, b'demazik shayminan. So according to Rabbi Akiva, where you're going to be paying now with the best of the mazik's property, so we say the best of the mazik's property, is that now objective best? In other words, there's a standardized grading system, but the olam shayminan, or maybe not. Maybe the grading system is all going to be based on a curve, and it's going to be the best relative to whatever else he has. Okay. So amar le rachman amar mitav sadeu ve'at amar b'shal olam hein shamin. So now Rabbi Abba says, I don't see it being a question. Rabbi Abba says the Torah says mitav sadeu, he's going to be paying the best of his field. I don't know. The simplest reading of the pasuk would indicate it's the best of his field relative to what other fields he has. I think the answer is simple, says Rabbi Abba. So Eisvei. So the Gemara now is going to discuss this, and this will take us a few minutes in the beginning of today's daf. So over here, we are going to go over schedule of payment, not schedule of payment, but method of payment. So let's talk about debt that you owe to three separate people. Okay, let's just set this up. We all know this already. We did this back in Gittin, but just set it up nice and clear and organized, so we have an excellent look at the following scenarios. If you owe money to a damaged party, so you have to pay with interest. If you owe money if you owe money to a creditor, so you have to pay with beinunis, B. And if you owe money to ksuvas isha, in other words, so now either you or the estate, death, either divorce or death. So if you owe money to Ksuvas Isha, so you pay with Ziboris. Okay. Now, we already went over this numerous times. Why is it that Ksuvas Isha is debt? So why is Ksuvas Isha going to be, you only have to pay Ziboris, not Beinonis? So the Gemara's explanation, numerous places, is that when it comes to Ksuvas Isha, so she doesn't need that much incentive to get married. She does need financial protection, and we also have to put a little bit of a speed bump for the man before he divorces his wife. Let's think about it for a moment. Okay, it's going to cost you. So all that's put in, but at the same time, however, do we have to really strongly encourage, incentivize women to get married? No, women want to get married. So therefore, if all of a sudden the women are talking, do you know that her ksuva payment was paid only with ziboris, not beinonis? So it's not going to stop marriage from occurring. In other words, there's already a natural motivation for women to get married. Good. The Gemara says that in numerous locations. So now that so we have now our debt, and how do you pay? So again, for Nizak, you pay with Idis. For a Baal Chov, you pay with Beinonis. And for Ksuvas Isha, you pay with Ziboris. It's simple, straightforward. And now let's follow. So here in the Braisa. So Ein Lo, Ela Idis Kulan Govin, Mina Idis. So Beinonis Kulan Govin, Beinonis, Ziboris Kulan Govin, Ziboris. So we start off with point number one of the Braisa. And that is, let's say all you have is Idis. Look, if all you have is Idis, what are you supposed to do? In other words, you don't have Ein Braver there. There simply is no option. So in other words, your collectors are going to come in and they're going to collect whatever you have. And that be true by Beinonis as well. And that be true by Ziboris as well. And just to spell this out, in other words, if all you have is but Ziboris, so now the damaged party is going to come, new. And you're going to say, okay, new, here, I'm paying you. I'm paying you with my Ziboris. But yeah, but you owe me Idis. Yeah, but I don't have it. And parenthetical note, the Torah does not obligate you to buy Idis so that you have to pay with Idis. Meaning, if you happen to have Idis, you pay with Idis. But over here, I don't have it. All I have is Ziboris. Fine. All of them are going to be receiving Ziboris.
Even if you say, but the Nizik Shemim?
What? We're assuming right now, the Gemara sets it up only according to Rabbi Kiva. The Shaila of the Gemara is very clear. The Shaila only is according to Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara says it's definitely Bishalohin Shaman.
Depends what size of Porsche I'm giving, that's it. Difference going to be, whoever we have to give Ziboris, you only have Edis. You give a smaller Porsche.
That's always true. That's always true. In other words, the grading of the property is never going to affect the value. The value is always going to be the value.
What you owe is what you owe.
Correct.
You give a smaller or bigger or land in Montana. You have to give a value.
Hi, you low. It is Beninus Viziboris. And he's talking about his Bacho, Beninus Xuvasisha Viziboris. Now, continuing in the Bryce says, now let's say you have A, B, and C. Okay, now we're in a perfect world where you have A, B, and C. So comes the Nizak, you're gonna give him A. And comes the Bachov, and you're gonna give him B. And comes the Ksuvas Isha, and you're gonna give her C. Okay, great. That's easy. And now Idis Ubeinonis. So now let's say all you have is Idis Ubeinonis, all you have is A and B. So you have A and B, so Nizak and B Idis, so the Nizak's gonna come, you're gonna give him Idis, as you should. That's the Ikar Adin. And the Bachov Ksuvas Isha Beinonis. And the Bachov Ksuvas Isha are going to give Beinonis. Now the Ksuvas Isha, you don't have to give her Beinonis. You can give her Ziboris, but you don't have Ziboris. Fine. So she's going to get a bump up. She's going to get Beinonis. Now Beinonis with Ziboris. Now let's say all you have is Beinonis and Ziboris. So again, this is also going to be easy. Nizak and Bachov Beinonis. So as far as the Nizak and Bachov is going to be concerned, they're going to get Beinonis. Now again, from the Nizak standpoint, really, he's entitled to Idis, but you don't have Idis. So you don't have Idis, so you're going to give him the best thing that you have, which is Beinonis. That's easy. And the Bachov is going to get Beinonis, and Ksuvas Isha is going to get Ziboris. Okay. So far, so good. All this, of course, is the setup for the following. Idis v'Ziboris. Let's say you have A and C. So you only have A and C properties. So now what happens? So now we're on the top of Chesamad Aleph. Nizak can be Idis, so the Nizak is going to get Idis. Good. That's easy. And now, Bachov and Ksuvas Isha is Ziboris. Now, the Bachov and the Ksuvas Isha is going to get Ziboris. So the Bachov now is going to get downgraded. He's going to get Ziboris. Instead of getting bumped up, he gets bumped down. Now, Ketanei Miha Mitzia Beinus V'Ziboris. So the Gemara says, now, of the many cases that we just covered over here, so we talked about Beinus V'Ziboris. That's one of the cases that we described, where you only have B and C. Now, when you only have B and C, so now what's the din? So we already went over in the Braisa, what's the din? So Nizak and Bachov Beinonis, Ksuvas Isha Beziboris. Good. The Gemara just reiterates. Now, Iyamar Bishalayin Shaman. So the Gemara says, so let's for a moment, not for a moment, let's now say, how is the grading system going to work? That's standardized grading, but the grading system is going to be graded on a curve. Okay, so if you're graded on a curve, so everyone in the class got a B. Okay, it happens to be, you know, I teach in school. So so for those teachers who grade with a curve, okay. So if everyone got a B, so what does the B now become? B becomes an A. Grade on a curve. So over here, if you have Beinonis and Ziboris, and the grading system is graded on a curve, and it's not objective grading, so now what? So Tasa Beinonis Shalok Idis. So now the Beinonis should become Idis, and now Yidcha Bachov Itzel Ziboris. And now when the Bachov comes over to you, you say, look, I know you should be getting Beinonis, and I know I have Beinonis, but, you know, it's the best that I got. So since it's the best that I got, so my bainus now is upgraded to an A. So my B is really A, which means what? You, Balchov, I'm giving you a C. Balchov's looking at you like, what? It's like, yeah, I'm grading on a curve. So the it seems to be a strong question. That if, in fact, everything's going to be graded on a curve, so in a scenario where you have B and C, your B becomes A, your C becomes B, the Balchov, you should be able to get away by giving him the C. So the Gemara says, "Hachah b'maiskinan aisa kigon shaisa lo idis umachra." V'chinam Rav Chista kigon shaisa lo idis umachra. So the Gemara says, "Okay, so what we'll do over here is that we'll throw in an ukimta, meaning maybe the truth of the matter is that it is greater on a curve. If it's greater on a curve, so our question was very strong. So the Gemara says, I know our question was very strong, but maybe this particular Bryce is dealing with the following circumstance, and that is that you had A, B, and C, you had it." What happened? Where's your A right now? You sold it. Oh. Okay, so you had A and you sold it. So over here in this circumstance, so even if we're going to say we're grading on a curve, but your B really is B. Why? Because you had A and you sold it. Now, we'll get to a point. We're going to say this point a couple times in today's daf. I'll say it now. We'll get to say it again later. So if you had A and you had a Nizak, so now why can't the Nizak hunt down that A property? And the answer is very simple, because it's a rule. We said it in Gittin. We're going to say it in today's daf. And that is that if you have B'nai Chorin, if you have property on hand, so then nobody can go and hunt down other properties, even though they have a lien on that property. In other words, a lien is never going to supersede properties that are actually being held by the person who owes. Good. That's the basic rule. And so over here, you had the A, you sold the A. So over here, what is that? How does that help us? Because now your B and C are really B and C. Even if we're saying it's great on a curve. Even if we're saying it's relative to you. But okay, but your B property really is B property. Because you had an A. And Hachinami Mestarben, the Gemara says, and by the way, I love this answer. I don't just like the answer, love it. So Amidik Tani Achrita, because consider the following. I have another Braisa, also dealing with a B and C situation. So in this second Braisa, we're going to call it now the Braisa Shnia. So in the second Braisa, it says, Benis Viziboris in a situation of B and C. Nizakim Bebenis, Abachov, Ksuvasisha, Viziboris. So over here in Braisa 2, so where you have B and C, so the Nizak is going to collect from your B, and your Bachov and your Ksuvasisha is going to collect from C. Obviously not like our original Braisa, not like the Braisa Rishona, Kashkina Adade. So the Gemara says, beautiful. Now what we can do is we can resolve the two Braisas with our Ukimta. Meaning, in Braisa number one, so you had B and C. And what happens? So your B is now going to be collected both by the Nizak and by the Balchov. Why? Because in Braisa number one, you had A. Happens to be you sold it, but you had A. I know we grade on a curve, but over here, even when graded on a curve, your B really is B, and your C really is C. But in Braisa Shni, and the second Braisa, so what is happening? What's happening is that we grade on a curve. So what's your B? Your B now is A. What's your C? Your C now is B. Beautiful. That's why the Nizak is going to collect from your B, and your Balchov and your Ksuvah Zish are going to be collecting from your C. Okay. I know I said that quickly. I know it. And but
this is where the Balchov collects from, right? That's the two Braisas.
They're right. In other words, the Braises are so there in terms of where the Balchov is collecting from. And now with our Ukimta, so now it works out well. Because the first Braises where he had an A, and therefore the grading, even when subjective, the grading is going to remain. And in the second Braise, he didn't have A. So now everything gets bumped up because it's Mishalo Hein Shaman.
The question is the A rated across the board for everybody, or is it your A?
That's absolutely the question. Correct. And the Gemara now is probing. And so over here we have two Braises, and the way we're going to resolve the Braises is with an Ukimta. That's resolution number one.
If he sold A while he had the lien, when he had the liability, can't A have a lien on it?
You can't go after the lien holder cannot go after after sold properties. As long as the principal still has other properties on hand. That's the rule.
Well, that would promote everybody to sell their property to the wife.
Okay, good. Okay, fine. I got too many people in this room and on Zoom who know more about much more about real estate than I do. So it's not fair. It's not a fair fight. Ebay Zema, the Gemara says, I'll give you another approach. And that is E D V E D Lo Haisa Lo Edisalo Haisalo Edisamachra. Okay. In Bryson number two, I'm sorry. Let's do this again. What we're doing now is that we are trying to resolve for Bryson one versus Bryson number two. In we're talking about where you had B and C property. In Bryson number one, where's the Baal Chov go to? So he's going to be collecting from your B property. In Bryson number two, where's the Baal Chov collecting from your C property? Okay, so we already gave one approach how to resolve Bryson one and Bryson two. Bryson Rishon and Bryson Shnia. Now the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a second approach. That's the E by Zema. And by the way, we're going to have a third approach as well. In our second approach of this E by Zema, we are going to now shift. We're going to say, B'shal Olam Hein Shaminan. There is no grading on a curve. Everything is graded objectively. There's a standardized grading of A, B, and C. And E by Zema, E to the E to Shalai Salo E to Zemachra. Elokasha, Hajashavi Ben Ishaloki Distama, Vikan, Deloshavi Ben Ishaloki Distama. Okay, and it's very simple. Meaning, and how am I going to be resolving the differences between Bryson number one and Bryson number two? In other words, your properties have a value to you and a quality grading to you. But in other words, but that's not how the grading system works. The grading system is going to be based on standardized grades. And it comes out now that in Bryson number one, your Beinonis is Kiddist Alma. Even though to you, it's like, eh. But meanwhile, on the objective grading system, on the standardized grading system, it really comes out to be an A. And that's why the Baal Chov, when he comes over to you, the Baal Chov now is expecting your Beinonis. No, you're not coming to and getting my Beinonis. Why? Because objectively standardized, my Beinonis is A. So now that's why I'm going to be giving you C. And in Bryson number two, in the Bryson Shnia, so now your B is really B. So that's why the Baal Chov now is able to collect B. Good. So that is another way to resolve the difference between the two brises. E by Sema, and the Gemara says, and I'll give you a third way how to resolve it. E divi e di kagon shayisa benu shloke benu sama. So the Gemara says is that your benunis is like benunis sama. The and vahachaba pligi mar savar bishlo hein shamin mar savar bishel olam hein shamin. Beautiful. And now, in other words, we are going to give a third approach of how to resolve the two brises, and maybe the two brises are arguing about how to grade. Meaning, maybe the two Bryces are actually arguing about this very point of whether or not you grade on a curve or whether they're standardized grading. So if we're grading on a curve, so then your B property really gets bumped up to A because all you have is B and C. So to you, the B is A. So now everything's going to get bumped up. B becomes A and C becomes B. And now your Baal Chov, well, welcome. I'm going to pay you. I'm paying you with C. It's not Beinonis. Yeah, to me it is. That's one Bryce. And the other Bryce would say no. Then everything doesn't get graded on a curve, but everything gets standardized grading. So this machlokes really is the difference between the two Bryces.
The Mazik has property in many places. You only grade it on where you live.
I'm going to beg you. Everything is already complicated enough as it is. Let's not add another variable. We got enough going on. But there's plenty to work with in the Gemara itself.
Okay.
Ravina says the following. Bedula pligi. So what we could suggest is the following. And this is now going to be a fourth way to resolve the difference between Brisa Rishona and Brisa Shnia. Again, in Brisa Rishona, what happens? You only have B and C. And what happens now is that the Baal Chov comes and in Brisa number one and Brisa Rishona, you give him the B. And Bryce Shnia, same scenario, you have B and C, and what happens? The Bacho comes in, you give him C, not B. So again, how do you resolve the difference between the two Bryces? So we only have given so far three ways to resolve the two Bryces. But well, let's go number four. And that is Bedula Pligi, Amar Ula Dvar Torah, Bacho Bizibarosh, and Amar Bechutz Tamod V'isha Asher, Ata No Shebo Yotzi Elecha, Es Ha'avot Hachutza. So what is happening over here is that somebody owes you, and what you want to do is you want to take a mashkon from him, so that and to encourage him to pay, and the so what you're going to do, says the Torah, is that you're not going to go inside to his house. In other words, you're going to stand outside, and he's going to bring something to you as a mashkon, so he now can make the determination of what to give you as a mashkon. Now, Ma darker shall adam lo zila chutz pachus shebekelim. So ma tam amru bachol bebenus kedish shalotinol delas bifnei lovin. So sorry, I read a little too much, too quickly. And what is he going to bring you? So what do you think he's going to bring you? He's going to bring you that which is the most inferior of that which he has. In other words, if he has the choice, he, the borrower, can decide what to give you, obviously he's going to be giving you the thing of the least value. Now, again, I say least value, by the way. We made this point already numerous times. Let's be clear. Least value does not mean that you're going to be diminishing the value of the debt. Obviously, whatever you're going to give has the equal value of the debt. It just happens to be that the quality of the item that you give doesn't have to be the best quality. In fact, it's going to be the worst quality. Good. So now, that means that if we were to take that and use that now model of when you're paying, you don't have to pay with the best. In fact, you can pay with the worst. So now move that over to properties, A, B, and C. So now, what does that mean in terms of the Torah and the Baal Chov? The Baal Chov is now going to be collecting which property min haTorah, A, B, or C? So min haTorah, the answer is going to be C. So umatam amru Baal Chov bebeinus kedush lo tinol delas bifnei lovin. And now what did the Chachamim did? They legislated. You know what? If the Baal Chov is only going to be collecting C properties, do you know the next time he's going to lend? It's called never. In other words, can you imagine I lend money and this is what I get as compensation now for the loan? I'm only getting C property. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm not going to lend again. And not only am I not going to lend again, I'm going to encourage others never to lend again as well, because this is what you get. So the Chachamim want to incentivize lending.
How do you answer the Chitzu? What is he going to bring up?
No, the Pasuk is not talking about land. The Pasuk is just simply talking about a mashkam. The Gemara is assuming, what Ula is assuming is that we'll take this and we'll apply it to land as well.
Okay. But when he brings the mashkam, if he's going to give him the low value, then why is the incentive of lending is gone?
Exactly. Perfect. That's exactly the point. And that's why the Chachamim legislated to upgrade it to B. Min haTorah C, the Chachamim legislated to B.
He
wouldn't
maintain that he gave him from the Zimbabweans.
It's like a calamitous
problem. He came to that.
Hold on a second. Let me just first finish. Let me just first finish the thread of the Gemara and then we'll pause. So ma tam amru shabachob meniskei shol tenol dalas b'fnei lovin. So isle, so now mar isle takanta de'ula, mar leifle takanta de'ula. And so now, where is the difference between Brisa Rishona and Brisa Shnia? So in Brisa Rishona, what happens to Baal Chov is collecting from B, because they're holding of Takanta De'ula. In other words, the upgraded property that's going to be now given to the Baal Chov in order to incentivize lending. In other words, Brisa number one subscribes to that. While meanwhile, Brisa number two, the Baal Chov is only getting Zibaris because Brisa number two doesn't subscribe to the Takana of Ula and the upgraded payment form that is going to be given to the Baal Chov. In other words, Bryce number two doesn't hold of it. Okay, now I'm pausing. Yet,
I'm confused. Ulu says just the opposite. He maintains that he gave him the Zibayis.
Min haTorah.
Right, he gave him the Zibayis.
That's Min haTorah. And the Chachamim now are misaking. Right. We're going to upgrade.
So the question for hold Takana.
And now the question is, do we hold of Takana Zul or do we not hold of it? Perfect.
That price is maintained that he gives a bonus does not adapt to what he called it.
Perfect. Mamish. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay. So now, now from here, pretty much to the end of today's daf, it's now going to get a little bit more complicated. Okay, up until now, I know. Okay, up until now, it's been a little bit complicated, but now we're gonna move it up, because now I know Marty's going to get excited. Alan's going to get excited, because now we're going to be talking about liens on property, and in other words, me going down hunting down that property with the lien that I have on it. So the Gemara says as follows: Tana Rabbanan, and we're going to start with a brisa. Macha le'echad. So let's say I have multiple fields and I'm selling multiple fields. And not only do I have multiple fields, by the way, but I also have multiple debts. Okay. Which means now that there are liens on these properties. So, machala echad, o l'shlosha b'nei adam ke'echad. Let's say I sell it to one or I sell it to three people. But ke'echad, like one. We're going to explain what that means better in just a moment. So, kulam nichnasu tachas abalim. So now what's going to happen is that all buyers are going to take on the persona of the original owner. Meaning, the original owner's got not only multiple properties, but multiple debts. Any owed to the Nizak, to the Bachov, and Ksuvas Isha. Good, good. He's lived a little bit. He's experienced a little bit. Okay, good. So now, when each one buys the property, so when you're buying that it is property, so you know who you're going to be meeting with next in court. So when you buy that it is property, so now say hello to the Nizak. In other words, because he's holding the lien against the Idis. And when the person's buying the Baal Chov, who's he going to be saying hello to in court? So he's going to be saying hello to the Baal Chov. And the person who bought the Zibaris, you got it. So he's going to be saying hello to the divorced woman now who's going to be collecting her ksuva, and she's going to be collecting from Zibaris. Now over here, the critical point is that all properties were sold simultaneously, right? Either they were all sold to one person or they were sold to three, but at the same time. Now,
they're all sold subject to the lien.
Perfect. So, but if they're sold consecutively, not simultaneously, so now everything changes. So now what's going to happen is that government acharon, and that is that last property held is going to be the collection point for all obligations. All outstanding obligations are going to be going after land actually held. Now, perfect. Ein lo gove milafanav, ein lo gove mishalef nepanav. And now what you got to do now is you got to follow the order. In other words, the order obviously is going to be established by who bought first, who bought second, who bought third. So in other words, who bought fourth. So last one who purchased is going to be collected from first. Okay, so in the event that, let's say, I have multiple buyers, and we're not talking about simultaneous, but we're talking about consecutive, and now I have, let's say, purchasers 1, 2, and 3, and let's make sure that we're clear. Purchaser 1 is the one who purchased first. Second, obviously second. Third is the one who purchased the latest, right? He was the last person who purchased property, and now the principal also had holdings, so now all the debtors come and they're collecting, and where can they go to? They can only go to the principal because he's got the holdings. So fine. So they're going to collect from him. Okay, they exhausted all of his holdings. Now what? So now they go to three. Once the third gets exhausted, then they go to two. Once the second gets exhausted, then they go to one.
Is that irrelevant of the grade of the property?
Yes. The answer is yes. Oh, I love it when I give such a clear and definitive answer. Absolutely correct. Correct. Irrespective of the grading of the property. Perfect.
That's not really fair.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's. We got a lot of Gemara to cover, and let's finish up. Now, machron le'echad hechidami. Okay, so first and foremost, the Gemara wants clarification on that point of machron le'echad. You sold it to one. So ilema bevas achas. In other words, maybe you sold it one document. So the Gemara says hashalosh l'shloshu dikel amemer chad minau kadem amar kula nichnasu tachas abalim. So machron le'echad mi baye el pshita bezecher zeh. So the Gemara says is that what happened was, is that now machron le'echad cannot mean that you sold it all these properties with one document, with one shtar. Can't be, because the next very case of the Braisa is where I sold to three people simultaneously, and Rashi points out over here simultaneously simply means all on the same day. Now, even though I sold it on the same day, in other words, obviously those were three different sales, right? They were separated by time on that day. That's true, but here's what we don't do. When dating documents, we don't put time, we don't stamp the time. So now, in retrospect, whenever you're looking at a document, the only thing that we have to work with is the date. And that means only the day. So that means in retrospect, as long as all the properties were sold on the same day, halacha views it simultaneous, not consecutive.
I can sell three properties in an hour.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. But in other words, the contracts are not time stamped; they're only date stamped, and so therefore we only look at the day. So the Gemara's point is that when we're selling to three separate people and it's all on the same day, that qualifies as simultaneous. So if I sold to three people on one document, like that's a duffer pashut; it's obvious. So the Gemara says pshita b'zachar zeh. So the Gemara says is that what we mean by that is that you sold to one person, even though you sold to one person and you sold it to him on three different days. But still, halacha will view that as simultaneous. So hainami. So akol chavechad lemalei, hinachti lamacham lagabos mimenu. So the Gemara says, now, when I'm selling, so the when I'm selling to three people, zecher ze. So in other words, what effectively can I say? In other words, when I sell to three people and I sell consecutively, not simultaneously, so each one of them say, look. In other words, I understood that there is that he's got debt. I understand that. But what I made sure to do is I bought property and leaving him with property. So now when that debt gets collected, it's going to be collected from him, not from me. Okay. And that's why they're not going to be going after me, because I did that by design. When I purchased with that plan, with that strategy. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so then Hainami. So the even if it's one person and he bought it on three separate days, so why don't we say the same thing? So why can't he make the same argument? He nachla makom lagavas mimenu. So and only allow all the debtors to be collecting from the last land, not the first two. So my skin kigon shalakech idus bachrona v'chein amaravashi kigon shalakech idus bachrona. So the Gemara says, well, what happened was is that it's that one person. He bought the three properties, it is Ben Ziboris, and he bought them not the same day, but on three separate days, but he bought it in the order of, I'll assume it's first Ziboris, then Benonis, and finally Idis.
Let me first finish
the thread, and then I'll pause. So he actually the kula v'ligba mi Idis. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so now, wait 1 second. So what was the last property standing? In other words, the last one that was held by the principal. So the last one that was held by the principal was Idis. Ah. So now Idis is a mark. All the debtors now should be going after that Idis property. Because consider, in other words, what is the schedule? The schedule is that you can't go after any sold properties, even though you have a lien, if the principal has holdings, if he's holding any of the properties. So over here, you bought it in the order of Ziboris, Benonis, Idis. So in other words, so there was a point in time where the Idis was being held by the principal. So now all of the debtors now should be able to go after that Idis. Not only can they, as long as the debtor was holding that Idis, they all can go after that Idis. Now he sells it last. Shouldn't they still be able to only go after the Idis? So the Gemara says as follows. Mishum de amar lehu ish tika v'shakiltu kidinachu shakiltu. So the Gemara says like this, because when I have the buyer, the lokeach, and it's true, he bought it in the order of Ziboris, Benonis, and Idis. It's true. And it's also true, according to the strict letter of the law, all the debtors now could be going after the Idis because the Idis was that last property that was held by the debtor. That's also true. But now that he, the buyer, is holding all the properties, so the buyer now will say to the following to all the debtors, look, everyone will come after me. Now everyone behave. In other words, okay, right? You the grusha, you're going to be getting from Ziboris. You the bachov, I'll give you the beinunis. And you the nizak, I'll give you the idis. But not everyone's taking from the idis. That's not what's going to happen. And if everyone here is going to be a little bit insistent, in other words, they're going to point to the law. And that is that that Idis was the last property that was being held by the debtor himself. You want to stay with that? I got the following. And that is what I'll do is I'll take my Ziboris property. I'll simply return it back to the debtor. And now everyone can only go after the Ziboris. So everyone relax. Everyone behave. And if you don't, I'll take the Ziboris. I'll give it back to the debtor. And now all of you are only going to be able to get from the Ziboris.
So the only way that's the Balchov.
Huh?
Only the Balchov is really effective there.
Right, correct. Huh?
About that point, it wasn't free. He's going to return it tomorrow.
Interestingly enough, the returning of the Ziboris will consider the Ziboris to be a held property. In other words, it will return the status of an Echorin. It's a Chiddush, I admit. But in other words, but it does. Okay.
Question where I don't understand is, if there's a lien on the property, how do you sell it in the first place? How does it get sold without the lien being paid off?
So apparently, again, as far as halach is concerned, you could sell a property with a lien.
But aren't you responsible to the debtor if you do that?
No, the debtor, in other words, the debtor comes to you, you're responsible for the debt. In other words, you have to pay the debt. But in the event that you don't have the debt, so then so the lien. Hold on one second. Let me first finish. So if okay, maybe I won't finish. No. I'm going to finish. Let me finish. You obviously are still obligated to pay the debt in the event that you foreclose and you can't pay on the debt. So that the lien serves as the arev. It's a guarantor.
Right. So in other words, according to halacha, you can sell your properties and shift them around. The lien doesn't attach to one specific property. It's all your property.
The lien is serving as an arev. It's guaranteeing the loan.
Right.
But as long as you yourself still have holdings of property, so then he can't go after the arev.
So it's not, again, it's not specific. If I have this property here and that, and this is my A, and this is my
yeah,
B,
yeah.
And I owe you from A, but I sell A, I can't collect from A. It's only, you only
perfect,
have B.
Perfect.
Okay. So okay.
Yes.
Logically, that's the way
that's correct. So e hachi. Okay, good. Okay. So e hachi. So the Gemara says benizakin nami ne mahachi. So the Gemara says. So now, why don't we do the following? And that is, look at that maneuver. Look at that maneuver that he could do. If we turn to the Amud Beis, and that is that now this buyer, this lokeach, who has all three properties on hand, and he's got all these debtors now coming to him, and he's asking everyone to behave. So now, wait one second. He can just simply take any one of the properties, return it back to the seller, who also happens to be the debtor. And now he could just simply give it back to the debtor. And now that's it. That's now going to be considered a b'nei chorin property. And now all of his properties are now going to be protected. Oh, wait one second. So the Gemara says, so do that to the Nizak. In other words, the Nizak's coming after him. Hey, give me some of my itis. In other words, you're holding all three properties. Ooh, I got a great idea now. I'll take my Zibor's property. I'll give it back to the seller. And now the Nizak, sorry. In other words, you can't go after the Mishubadim. There's B'nai Chorim being held by the debtor. So B'nizak and Nami Neim Achi. So El Achi B'mai Skinim B'yasmei. Dela B'nai Piraninu. So the Gemara says, okay, it's such an outstanding point that what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to just change the circumstances here just a little bit. And that is that we're dealing with the Yisomim. So they are, in other words, we're no longer, that, as far as the principal is concerned, as far as the debtor is concerned, no longer around. And what happened? So now everything went to the Yorshim. So now, Dela B'nai Piraninu V'shibudu Dilei Alei Didei Ramya. Hilkach Leka Lamemer Hachi. Now, as far as the estate is concerned, so what do they have? If they had properties, so then all the debtors can go after the properties, but the kids don't have properties. Remember, what happened was is that our debtor sold all the properties, and now what about the debt itself? Well, if he were still alive, so he would own that debt. So does debt get yarshin down to the children? No, the debt doesn't get yarshin down to the children. So now all we're looking at over here is the properties. In other words, and there's no longer a debtor. So now, if there's properties, there's no longer a debtor. So the buyer of those properties, basically, what role does he take on now? He basically takes the role of the debtor. And as a result of that, now he can no longer say to the Nizak, right, you don't come after the Yiddis. At this point in time now, he is the owner of the lien properties and basically now is the debtor as well. So the Gemara says, "Elam Mishum Damer Lo."
It's not going to help that he's going to make sure that the Zeboris comes back to the orphans because the orphans are not
right, right, right. "Elam Mishum Damer Lo." Time of my Amar Rabbanan Eini from Nechaz Mishubanim Emakum Sheish Bnei Chorim Mishum Tekanti Didi Anabat Tekanta Lo Nichali. So the Gemara is period. Meaning, so that is one way. That's one way to explain the Braisa. So where are we in A? As I pointed out, a complicated discussion of the Gemara over here, where what happens is that you're selling all your properties to one person on different days. And you're selling your property to one person on different days. And meanwhile, what he can do is that basically, he can still basically control the narrative. In other words, what's going to happen now is that as each of the people are coming over to him, so what he can do now is to the Nizak, he'll give the Yiddis, to the Baal Chov, he can give the Beinonis, and to the Ksuvas Isha, he'll give the Ziboris. And if they were on consecutive days, how does that work? So the Gemara has just given an approach. Complicated, but the Gemara has given an approach. What the Gemara now is going to do is the Gemara is going to give another approach. So Ela Mishum Da Amarlu Tam Amay Amar Rabbanan Einafram Nechas Mishubanim Amakum Sheish Benechom Mishum Tekante Didi. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Also, let's take the following into consideration. This rule that when I have a debtor who has properties with liens on those properties and properties get sold, so why is it now that sold properties cannot be collected from as long as the debtor's got b'nei chorin property? And the answer is because we want to protect buyers. In other words, it's takanas chazal, legislation of the rabbis, to go ahead and to protect buyers. It's buyer protection program. Good. And so over here, buyer protection program is great when it actually protects the buyer. However, over here, when you have one buyer of multiple properties of different gradings, and now he's got all the properties, and now the last property that he purchased was an Ida's property. So over here, what he could say is the following. Look, all this was as a result of buyer protection program. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to opt out because no longer does it protect me. I am now the owner and holder of all these different properties. And if I implemented the program, so then everyone's going to be going after Ida's. I don't want to part with the Ida's and give the Ida's to everybody. And everybody get a distribution from the IDIS. I'd rather not do that. And the only reason why you're doing that is because of the buyer protection program. But over here, because I purchased all the properties, so I'd like to opt out of the buyer's protection program. And Rava says, that's exactly the point. You can opt out. So Mishim Takanta Didi, Ana Baha Takanta Lo Nichali. I don't want the Takana. For me, in this particular case, the Takana is not going to help me. In fact, just the opposite is going to hurt me. So can you opt out? Rava says, yes, you can. You can opt out. And Rava, by the way, is pretty consistent about this point. And that is that there are takanas chachamim in order to protect. And if it happens to be that in this particular situation, it doesn't protect you, you have the right to opt out. The Gemara says, I'll give an example. Kid de Ravuna Dama Ravuna Yecholisha Shatam Labala Eini Nizonis Ve'eni Osa. So we know we've gone over this point numerous times. We just finished Seder Nashim. Okay? I wish I could tell you encyclopedically how many times we did this in Seder Nashim. I will say more than a handful. So that is that when you get married, so there is quid pro quo responsibilities, husband to wife, wife to husband. Husband to wife, he's got to take care of her financially, other ways as well, but in other words, but he's got to take financial care of her. And as part of that responsibility, so by the way, I'm giving you short order version of how the quid pro quo works. In other words, the Gemara and Tzuva spends much more time going over how each one is coordinated with one of his responsibilities. But leaving all that aside, now her Maisa Yadayim, she has earnings. Her earnings are going to go to the husband, okay? That's part of the Takana de Rabbanan within a marriage. He takes care of her. Her earnings go to him. Okay, now, what if she's got a great job? She makes a ton of money. And she'd like to now opt out of this program. Okay, so does she have the right to do so? Rava says, absolutely. She could say, look, in other words, you'll keep your mizonos and I'll keep my Maaseh Yadayim. You have to support me. You have to feed me. I got a great idea. Right? How much does it cost to feed me every week, every month? A lot less than what I'm making. Keep your mizonos. I'll keep my Maaseh Yadayim. Good. And Rava says you can opt out. So if there is a program that the Chachamim instituted to protect people, and it happens to be that for you it's not working, you can opt out of the program. Same thing when you are a buyer of multiple properties. In that normally the halacha would be is that the order of operations is that they're going to be going after that last property that you purchased. Oh, but the last property you purchased is Idis. And now everyone's going to be going after the Idis. And meanwhile, you also have the Benis. You also have the Zibaris. And now what? Now they're all going to go after Idis because of the Takanas Chachamim, of buyer's protection. Yeah, but right now, it ain't protecting me. What I prefer is that the Nizik collects from the Idis, but everyone else collects from what they should be collecting from. Ah, so according to Rava, you know what you could do? You can opt out of the program. And if you're opting out of the program, so now you're good. So now you Ksuvasisha collect from Zibaris, you Bachova collect from Beinonis, and you, then Mr. Nizak, you'll collect from Edis. Beautiful. Okay, a little bit behind, but then we're gonna pause over here. Tomorrow we're gonna start with Pshita. Pshita is a fresh start for tomorrow. Okay, the only thing I'm exaggerating is it's not fresh. In other words, tomorrow where we're gonna start with is what happens now when the Lokeach Rishon goes and sells the property to Lokeach Sheni. And we're going to talk about the rights the Lokeach Sheni has that he purchased from the Lokeach Rishon. So not only are we going to go back to the debtor and all of his outstanding debts, and we're going to talk about the creditors, but we're going to introduce not only the first buyer, which we talked about today, we're also going to talk about the second buyer tomorrow as well. Oh, okay. So, which means to say, get excited for tomorrow, as it's going to be just a little bit more complicated than even today was. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us to the end today. Very basic discussion, admittedly complicated stuff, but very basic discussion regarding order of operations, how payments are distributed to your Nizak, to your Balchov, to your Ksuvas Isha. We spoke out in terms of the grading system of Edus, Bein, and Zibar. Is there a grade on a curve? Is there a standardized grading system? The Gemara did not arrive at a conclusion of that. You have only Beinus and Zibor's property. Where's the Baal Chov collecting from? We have two Brises, one saying he's collecting from B, the other one saying from C. How to explain the discrepancy of the two Brises? Four different ways in which we explained it today. And finally, our big discussion at the end of today is that if I have buyers buying properties with liens on them, and now I have either, right, and I have one person buying them on consecutive days, so now, how is collection going to be done by all the outstanding creditors, right? My Nizak, my Bachov, my Ksuvas Isha, how are they all going to come and collect from me? Are they going to be taken from the last property that I purchased, or am I able to reshuffle the deck and give them as appropriate allocation? And the Gemara's conclusion is that you can reshuffle the deck and give them an appropriate allocation. And our conclusion, the Gemara's conclusion, well, the Gemara really gave two answers to this question. But the second answer of the Gemara is that the only reason why we instituted that all the creditors are going to be going after last property standing is to protect buyers. But over here, if I'm the sole purchaser of all those different properties, so now what I'd like to do is I'd like to opt out of the program. And according to Rava, you can opt out of the program. Rava gave another example in which you can opt out of the program.
Rava, sure. Question.